lives. Blessings that we can see, to hear, and feel. But also the many blessings that we are not able to see or understand. We come from many different situations in life, dear Father. We come here with great joy and happiness that we have yet been preserved in your kingdom through your grace. Some of us also come here with many doubts and worries and fears, sadness, and with heavy hearts. You know each and every one of us, dear Father. You know our joys, you know our trials. You know our burdens, our sorrows. Help us all, dear Father. Encourage us to continue in this begun faith so that we may one day spend eternity without fears, without sorrow or sadness or doubts. As we have come before your word this evening, dear Father, we pray unto you that you would guide our speech, that you would guide our thoughts, and that you would grant us that portion that we need for our personal life of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our text this evening, thought I would read from the 15th chapter of Luke, beginning from verse 11 through 24, in Jesus' name as follows. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. This portion of God's word is a very familiar portion that we have heard many times. I remember from my youth, when I was a little boy, when the speaker brothers spoke from this text. And even though I had heard it already then enough times to know what will happen, it was one of those texts that was somewhat, it was easier to understand with my carnal mind. And there are a few portions in the Bible that are portions that are easier to follow along and to maybe understand at least a little bit. And maybe some portions are more clear to others than to others. So the text begins by, it paints a picture of a family. It doesn't say how many people were in this family, but we can picture a house and parents and children in that house. And they were living life normally, I suppose you can say. And then one day, one of the members that belonged to that house went to the father of the house, and he had something very important to tell him, according to him. But when we go through this portion of God's word, we can also understand it in this way through faith, that the father in this house is God. And everyone else that are in that house are God's children. So this is a picture of the kingdom of God. But Jesus here speaks of it in such a way that we can look at this as a regular house with believing parents and believing children in that house. So as life went on normally, one of the younger sons, apparently there were two sons in the family, and the younger one came to the father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. So the father listened to this, to his younger son, and he gave that portion of inheritance that belonged to this, to one of the, to the younger brother. And already here we can see that God had blessed this family. Had blessed them in such a way that this father had something to give. And what it was that he gave, we don't know. The Bible doesn't, at least in this portion, doesn't say what it was that the father gave. But there was something that he was able to give. And he gave that to his younger son. So there were already gifts that God had placed into that family, just like God has placed gifts in every one of your homes. Of course, there are days when it seems that those gifts and those blessings, the way of life obscures and creates a fog in front of them. And it's not, we can't always realize what a great blessing and how many gifts God has given into your home. It doesn't matter if you are living alone or if you have many children. God has still blessed your family. But more than the goods and money that we may think of that this inheritance would contain, this younger son was raised in a believing home. And when we are little children, maybe even youth, we take that for granted. But as time goes on, we are able to see it a little bit more as a great, great blessing that we have been raised in a believing home. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So from these verses we understand that this individual who had been given this great gift of faith had lost it. God's blessing that he had been shielded with while he was still believing was no longer protecting this young man. He left to a far country and spent whatever his father had given him. And sometimes I have wondered that why did he leave to a far country? Why did he not go somewhere close by? Why did he want to go so far away that he would be completely removed from the other believers? And maybe you know some of those instances when someone has left God's kingdom, how they want to completely cut all ties to other believers and go to such a dark place as they possibly can to get away from other children of God. But then there are also those who have left God's kingdom, and maybe they don't quite dare to cut all the ties. They do keep in contact. They don't move very far away, just in case. This is how some of them reason, just in case. What if something was to happen? I know that I want my sins forgiven before I die. And if I don't have any contact with any believers, if I move far away, what will happen to me? But it is in this way that it is not man who decides when they return to God's kingdom. But it is God's grace what allows them back into the kingdom of God. This is not in the power of man. This is in the power of God. So he had left his home to a far country and spent all that he received from his father and lived a riotous life, as this text explains. And he spent everything that his father had given him. And then our text also says that he was not able to find good work to do for a living. And it says that he would have gladly even eaten that what the pigs ate. But he was not even given that. So he was hungry for spiritual food. And wherever he was and whatever he was offered, it did not give him peace. It didn't pacify the state of his soul. He was in great need. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" So now he realizes that the place that he left all that time ago, that was a very blessed life. It was a very secure life. It was peaceful. Even if some of the days were difficult, it was a very secure life. So he realizes that there is more to life than to always be pleasing the flesh, to live life in sin, to live life contrary to the Word of God, to do whatever sin flesh desires to do. He realized that there is more to life than that. And Jesus, when he began his, I believe it was right in the beginning of his public ministry, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus speaks of what is important in life. He reminds all those thousands of people that were there listening to him of the most important matter in life. What are your treasures? What was the treasure of this young man when he left his father's house? It was not the kingdom of God. His treasure was somewhere out there in the unknown, in the far country to where he left to. And Jesus says to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And this is what had happened to this young man. Whatever he had was spent. It was all corrupt. Where thieves had broken in, they had stolen the most precious treasure that he had. The gift of faith was what he had lost. So then, he began to, when he realized, when God called him, even though he had rejected God, did not want God in his life anymore, the way that the Bible teaches. But God yet called him even from when he was in unbelief. And then God did something amazing, and we know that anything is possible for God. The country, the far country that this man went to, imagine that God caused a famine to reach that country. And we can think of it this way, that this event of famine was something that God created because of this one person. That is how God called him back into God's kingdom. God wished to remind him of the road that he was traveling. That dear son, the road that you are on is a dangerous road. It does not lead to heaven. It leads to an eternity in hell. It leads to destruction. There is nothing good on that road that you are on. And so then he began to remember of those things that were there at home. And we could think of it in this way, that he came to a fork in the road, and there was a battle within, questions, many doubts, I am sure, that God is calling me back home. There is nothing but misery on this road. I have not experienced anything good, nothing that will lead me closer to God. Do I listen to God, or do I listen to the enemy, the soul? Do I listen to God, or do I listen to the devil? He cannot listen to both. One cannot serve. If we would continue to read in the 6th chapter of Matthew, it says that one cannot serve two masters, but one would love one and hate the other. That was this man's decision now that God had called him. He yet knew that whatever sins he had, whatever way he lived his life in unbelief, the world accepted him. They were embracing him gladly, that we will accept you as you are. There is nothing wrong with living in this way. To live openly in sin. God does not accept such a life. God does not allow, if we would take the picture from Revelations, God does not allow dirty clothes into heaven, but they have to be washed. One cannot live in sin and reject God and be accepted into heaven. That is what the Bible says. This man, he felt God's calling. And it is comforting for us that have children, siblings, perhaps parents, relatives that are no longer believing or have never been believing. God does not forget them. He wants all men to turn to him and believe according to what the Bible teaches. God wants every prodigal son and daughter to return back to where forgiveness and truth, mercy and grace is offered. And that is only offered in the kingdom of God. God wanted this man to come home, to home to God's house. And he remembered the father's warm and loving home where he was raised as a child, as a youth. And he arose and came to his father. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So this man had been stripped of all pride, all self-glory, and he realized that there was nothing that he could offer to become a child of God. Nothing but his faulty and sinful self. He was through and through sinful. And God had opened his heart to see that there is nothing he can do to have the hope of heaven. The only hope is found in God's kingdom, in this Father's house. But the Father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. When I read this portion, I especially verse 20, when he arose and came to his father. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him. And I'm thinking of this, as I mentioned in the beginning, of this house with parents and believing children. And when one of the children, when they had given up their faith and left, they had left God's kingdom. So imagine this little house with a window to the driveway, and they can see how their child is walking away, becoming smaller and smaller, and then they can't see him anymore. He's gone. I'm sure this picture would have been in their minds countless of times. Maybe stared out that window in hopes to see him return back home. I'm sure many times put their hands together in prayer that nothing would happen to them, that they would find their heir and return to God's kingdom. And we can also draw comfort from this. Just as we heard through our dear brother this morning of Apostle Paul, how there are those that you would think that they are so far gone, and so deeply in sin that certainly there is no hope, or very little hope, if any, for them to return back to the kingdom of God. But everything is possible to God. God was able to turn the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And he became a believer. Where there is life, there is hope. And may it be so that every day when we live on this earth, that we would always wish to dwell in God's kingdom until the very last day that we have, whenever it may be. It could be a long time. It could come very suddenly. It could come at a young age. One of the speaker brothers that were here last summer from Sweden, Timo Lehtola, is a tall guy. Maybe you remember him. His sister, who was a couple years younger than I am, grew up in Sweden at the same time, fairly close. She got married, and a couple years ago she became ill, some type of actually, I don't know. But she became ill. And then gradually she became better and better. She was even able to return to work. And a couple weeks before this Easter, she became ill again. And she died on Good Friday. She was in her mid-40s, married, had 8 children. That was Timo Lehtola's sister. Now her children, and her husband especially, her mother and father and her siblings. Left with a broken heart. And it is our carnal portion that has the hardest time to accept God's will. But her life came to an end at a very early age, relatively early age. We don't know when God will call us from this earth. We don't know if we have time to seek for God's kingdom if we would leave it. It might come very suddenly. We might not have time to, as the Bible puts it, put our house in order. But it does teach us that there is no place like the kingdom of God. This is the place, if we continue to believe the way that we have always believed, the way our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, have believed all the way to the Old Testament believers. We will be safe, and we will be well taken care of. We will reach heaven's home. So continue, even if you have trials and doubts, even if you have many fears, and even if you have fallen into many sins, you can uplift your heart this evening and believe all your sins, doubts, fears, and worries forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. Can I also believe my many sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.